Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping you to build a wealthier business and life. And this is hashtag my investing story. And tonight, just like every Wednesday, Ione McNeil and I come before you on this podcast to share the investing stories of many individuals. And tonight is not going to be any different. But first, before we do that, let us share with you just a little information about a phenomenal organization called Better Investing. And Better Investing is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization that was created to help educate individual investors. But as a part of educating individual investors, we have, as volunteers, participated, I would say, over the last 20-plus years to help in that process. But Better Investing was created and formed in 1951 as the National Association of Investors. And again, it's a not-for-profit organization that's helping individuals from all walks of life. And we do that by providing unbiased investment education and powerful online tools and stock analysis tools, creating lifelong investors. Now, with that thought in mind, what I'd like to have you do is think about where were you financially when you were 20, 21, 22. I don't need to go any further, right? Well, tonight, our hashtag My Investing Story, which was created to share stories of our investors, tonight's program is brought to you by another one of our rock stars, I can call him that, by the name of Guy DeWeaver. And Guy is a part of the Millennial Millionaires, which is a team of three brought together by the Ally Investment Stock Market Gain Challenge. And if you listened to the program last week, Wednesday, as a part of hashtag My Investing Story, you heard another phenomenal story by one of the individuals. But prior to the competition, a guy and a number of his buddies, they combined their investing knowledge to be an advanced beginner level. But tonight you're going to hear his story, and you'll get an opportunity to share with him your questions, your comments, and really just listen in. So with those thoughts in mind, let me welcome my co-host, none other than the baby billionaire, Ione McNeil. Good evening, Ione.
Yes, we are very excited to have two of the members from the Millennial Millionaire team that participated in the Ally Stock Market program about a month or so ago, a five-week challenge that was sponsored by Ally and supported by Better Investing. And tonight we'll be speaking to Guy DeWeaver, the second, and also Jacob Robinson. How are you, gentlemen?
Well, thanks for having us.
Good.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Good. Well, my first question is just a little introduction question. We'll walk through your entire experience because we wanna first learn a little bit about both of you individually and then graduate to how you became a team with some other students to participate in the program. So if you could talk to us a little bit about your backgrounds, where are you from, what college did you end up or are still attending, what's your major, and then a short snippet of what your career plans are.
Sure. I guess I can kick us off with this. Hello, everyone. As Ione and Ann said, my name is Guy DeWeaver II. I'm a 2020 graduate from Upper Virginia State University, which is an HBCU about 30 minutes south of Richmond. Born and raised right here in the DMV, members in the Virginia area. And I'm currently a dual degree graduate student at Johns Hopkins University, as well as the Maryland Institute of College of Art. I'm getting my MBA from Hopkins and then a Master of Art and Design Thinking from MICA. I really came to this program and I wanted to use this dual degree to really break into the tech industry. I chose that industry because it's fast-paced. I love problem solving, and I really see that as, you know, the future for where the world is going. I guess I'll pass over to Jacob.
Sure thing. So hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to see you all in this capacity. My name is Jacob Robinson, and I am a fourth-year, five-year MBA major, proud leadership studies minor student, originally from Atlanta, Georgia. However, I attend the prestigious Hampton University. As a little bit about me, like I said, born and raised here in Atlanta, Georgia, love it all the way. However, some of the career interests over time that have come to develop is really within the financial industry itself. So as a part of my career aspirations, I do intend on being a wealth manager, hopefully sometime in the future. And then even post my wealth management career there, I actually intend on pursuing a law degree. So I intend on going to law school, getting that and kind of learn that in the mix with the financial wealth sector.
Excellent. Well, give us a little bit of a picture of your first experiences with money as a kid. Was it something that you just asked your parents for? Was it something that you had to work for early? You had to do chores, or you had to actually go outside the house and mow someone else's lawn? Give us a picture of your first experiences with money.
Sure. So I guess I'll start off with this, guys, if you don't mind. So I did actually have to mow lawns. So despite the suits today, you will definitely see me in some long sleeves that got in the grass over there. So that was definitely, you know, one avenue of way of which I was able to earn a little bit of income. But outside of that, my parents, they're actually believers in, you know, the chores around the house. That's your earning to live here, right? So I didn't really get much pay from that. However, they would have their own entrepreneurial spirit, and through that, I was actually able to assist them in those ventures, right? So for myself, I'll say that I kind of was able to earn a little bit more from that perspective and through that avenue as being a part of their entrepreneurial ventures. And through that, I was also able to learn a lot what comes with business naturally. But then also see behind the scenes on, okay, now you have the business, you're allowing it to, you know, you're making money within the business. Now how are you going to further grow that, right? And that's how I kind of came more into investing, mixed in just with seeing over time how many individuals, unfortunately, and, you know, really don't have the access to a certain knowledge about investing. And truth be told, that's really what struck me the most. Looking at it from that personal perspective, that's kind of what got me into investing in my kind of
Before Guy goes, I want to hear a little bit more, Jacob, about when was the first time you heard about investing and that concept?
Oh, man. So, all right, a little bit of a story here. And it's funny you mentioned this. I actually just spoke about it with my mother yesterday evening, something about that. But so I actually was first introduced to investing through Dave Ramsey's class when I was probably around 2 to 3 years old, right? So it goes all the way to extent back then. But the reason I bring that there is because at the time, my mother herself, she was, you know, growing up, she was really trying to elevate herself from the nature of, you know, financial burdens that really come over time, unfortunately, particularly within the African-American community. One of the ways she did that, she ended up attending a lot of seminars, and that happened to be in Dave Ramsey. And she would bring me in 2-3 years old, and I would kind of just sit there in the back and admire, but also listen and learn, you know. Did I grasp it all at that time? No. You know, I was still busy playing with my toys or whatnot. However, just me being there is what allowed me to really be introduced to it, and, you know, we just carry on. So that's kind of how I was introduced to it.
Wonderful exposure story. Thank you. Thank you for that. Guy?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, bit of a different, I think, story than with Jacob. But growing up, you know, I was the son of two recent PhD graduates, right? So both my parents have a PhD in political science, but with that came student loan debt, right? And not as much money as you'd expect from having your doctorate, right? So I remember my first, first apartment I remember living in was a one-bedroom apartment in D.C. As I got older, obviously their income levels got a little bit higher. They wanted to give me certain things, so I ended up with a weekly allowance and really didn't have much I needed to spend my money on. So I think the stereotypical young black male, coming through high school, even by the time I got to college, I would say 90-95% of my net worth was either in my closet, on my feet, or with a gaming console, right? So that really changed though when I got exposed to my first internship, which was actually as a financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual. I actually didn't say this, but while I was at Virginia State, my major was business marketing, and I had never considered going into the finance industry, but ended up one of the students that graduated from Virginia State told me about this opportunity with this company where one of the interns last the summer before had made $30,000 over the summer. Like, so they, I didn't know what it was, didn't know what I'd be doing, but I was like, you know what, sign me up. Ended up being a finance advisor at Northwestern Mutual. I had to get licensed before I could even accept the offer, right? But I learned so much during this internship, and really, it really changed my viewpoint on what money was, right? Money is, there's a great quote that says if you don't make money work for you in your sleep, then you're destined to work until you die, something like that, right? I believe it's Warren Buffett. And really understanding how to make money work for me and not me work for it and then spend it, I mean, really changed my life. So that was my first exposure to investing. And even though I didn't fall in love with the financial services industry in that capacity as a financial advisor, the lessons that it left me have lasted a lifetime and have really put me in a position where I'm able to invest and I look forward to investing my money before a lot of times even hits my account.
I'm so glad that we started both of your stories all the way back there, because what you both spoke to was actually having some form of experience and exposure to this information even before the Ally Stock Market Challenge. And so one of my follow-up questions for you, Guy, is take us back to when you were wearing Jordans, wearing Nikes, wearing Tommy Polo, whatever it was, and you did this sprint, this extra work just to get the opportunity to potentially make this money in this internship, because I want to get your frame of reference for being just a regular young black male, 19, maybe 20, no more than 20, going to college for marketing, not even accounting or finance, deciding to take a financial exam so that you could be this, financial advisor. Talk to us about your mindset and how that experience really shaped or changed your worldview of money. Because a lot of times, unless you have that kind of all-immersed experience like you had or like Jacob had sitting in those Dave Ramsey classes, you'll probably get got for the rest of your life.
That's exactly what it did. It changed and shaped my view of money. I also do want to say that I still, wear polo, still buy Nikes, right, still buy Jordans. But it was just an entire mindset shift, right? Instead of getting paid and seeing the money in my account as, I'll make more and spend this, buy whatever, I'll make more next week or another couple of weeks or what have you. What I really do is I have a plan for where every dollar is going to go. And in my financial plan, I'm fortunate to set aside so I can buy the things that I want. I have a PS5. I have Jordan still. I still buy Jordan and Nikes and clothes. But that's money that I allow myself to spend. That's not money that's flying out of my pocket anymore. And I think that mindset shift is really what was powerful. And what I'm still continuing to develop as I continue to learn new financial tools, and new financial strategies as well.
So one more follow-up is give us a little bit of your experience from that summer. You're fresh into college. You just took this exam. Talk about your experience working with clients. teaching this knowledge and advising people?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because I definitely would have breezed right over that. So this with this internship, they didn't give me a client book, right? We were actually asked to provide our own clients. So I was reaching out to recent grads in my school that I knew. I was reaching out to my family. I was reaching out to family, friends, right, and really trying to give them knowledge or investment strategies. And I think it was just really impactful because on one end, I'm talking to engineering students, right, that are making $70,000 a year, but their net worth isn't what I would expect someone, you know, $80,000, $70,000. Their net worth isn't really what I would expect someone at that stage to be. I'm also reaching out to my parents, friends, other people that have PhDs, people whose kids literally go to Citadel Friends, which if you're not familiar, that's the school the Obamas went to. And even though they're doing all these amazing things and traveling, right, when you actually peel back the curtains of their financial picture, you know, some people didn't have money set aside to retire. You know, I mean, I remember I had one very disheartening conversation with an ex-coworker of my mom's, and when we peeled back the financial picture, the prognosis, right, really was, unfortunately, you know, you're going to have to work until you die. And, you know, that really, you know, hurt. I was like, there's got to be something we can do. Is, you know, if the money's not there, there's just not much you can do other than try to make more, right? So it was just, I guess, eye-opening, right? A lot of times you think people are older, that means they're wiser. And a lot of times that's true. But, you know, money, I think the money management is a skill that needs to be learned and not something that you're just going to pick up on if you're not intentional about it. Like, so I think that's really what this gives me, is it opened my eyes not only to strategies, but pitfalls that I watched other people make every day for about 6 months.
And one of my last questions about this summer, because I want to make sure I can extract out of you all that I can. I mean, I think, again, having this type of experience is phenomenal. You just talked about being exposed to so many people's pitfalls with money. Just from the end of that summer, outside of the plan, what did you do differently? It may have been the plan, but I want to get a little bit more of what specifically did you do differently? How did you change in order to, quote, unquote, not be like that or not end up in that type of situation proactively?
The very first thing, I mean, I did this while I was interning. The very first thing I did was make a budget, right? I mean, I said it before, but if you don't know where your money's going, there's no chance of controlling it. Right, so I made a budget, looked at my expenses, and then figured out, okay, I know I'm going to want to go out with friends, so this is how much money I'm going to give myself every week to go out. I know I'm going to want to buy some shoes, so I'll remind myself to need one pair of shoes a month. Right? I know I'm going to want to need to pay my bills, right? So this much is for bills, this much is for investing, and really just dug deep into my financial picture, creating my budget, and more importantly, stuck to my budget, right? And I think after that, I just tried to preach really to all my friends and family that were listening, whether they were clients, became clients or not. I really saw the problem, and I understood that these problems were bigger than just people that were my clients that I had the chance to talk to. So my friends to this day would still reach out to me when they want to make a budget, when they're thinking about buying a new apartment or a new car, and just say, you know, does this work? You know, even though I haven't been in finance for 3-4 years now, right? So it's impactful.
Phenomenal. So my next question to both of you is, how did you come to participating in the Ally Stock Market Investing Challenge?
So, all right. I was actually, I was actually a participant within Moguls in the Making competition. And so, you know, luckily through that.
Explain what Moguls in the Making is, because we don't really know.
So Moguls in the Making is a wonderful event sponsored by Ally Financial, also sponsored by Thurgood Marshall College Fund and the Big Sean Foundation, Sean Anderson Foundation. So through that, it's too much to really explain just in one sitting, but needless to say, it's definitely centered around getting HBCU students, you know, number one, just into the exposure, you know, networking with each other, But then number two, also into the mindset of the entrepreneurial spirit, and kind of coming together to utilize that to create a phenomenal service project, to say the least. So that's kind of it within a nutshell. It's competition amongst the schools and participants. However, it's truly a phenomenal event, and one that, you know, once you participate, you never, you never forget it, right? And so through that, to get back to the question, I was able to, you know, my team, we actually ended up placing. And so after, upon doing so, one thing led to the next, and, you know, that afforded us the opportunity to actually be invited to the Ally Invest Stock Market Challenge, as a matter of fact. And so with that, that's kind of how I was able to get into the challenge itself. Nothing short of just going in and trying something new and then one thing leading to the next. I think that's kind of best I can really describe it.
Good description. Good description. Guy?
Yeah, just add on to that. That's a great description. Just add on to that. This is literally one of my favorite things to talk about, right? So, I mean, like Jacob said, there's competition between different HBCUs. Big Sean was the host and a judge. They flew us all out to Detroit, Michigan, put us up in a nice hotel for them, fed us. And we really, they pitted different HBCUs against each other, right? And our job was to come up with an innovative business idea that would not only make money, but help the city of Detroit. Unfortunately, my team didn't end up placing like Jacob's team. So it's still a little bit you know, not hate, but, you know, friendly competition there.
Rivalry.
Yes. Oh, I see a question in the chat. So for those who don't know, HBCUs are historically black colleges and universities. So behind Ione's head and her fro is Howard University, which I'm sure a lot of heard about, FAMU, Morehouse, Spelman, and then a lot of smaller ones that you may have never heard of, like the Virginia State University.
Prairie View.
Prairie View, et cetera.
Florida Memorial.
There you go. Florida Memorial, Virginia Union. Okay, I see you in the chat. So I did that competition, loved it, felt like we should have done better, but we didn't, unfortunately. And this was, I participated in the first year, so this was about two or three years ago now, right? At this point, I'm a graduate, I'm an HBCU graduate, but I still sometimes get the emails from Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and typically I'll read what it says and then delete it because I can't participate anymore because I don't go to an HBCU. So when I got the email from Deshaun about this challenge, it said that as long as you don't have to be a current HBCU student, but because I participated in the moguls and I was an HBCU student, I could be in the competition. And like I said, I love doing these types of things. Now I get my master's in design thinking. So I love competing. So when I saw it, I was like, I'm doing it. I love finance. Let's learn some things, learn some new investment tactics, and put what I have to the test.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, now let's talk about the Ally Stock Market Investment Challenge. You know, whatever you want to share, one thing I definitely want to hear are your aha moments, some of your biggest lessons learned. And I'm glad I waited to ask that question because now that we know that you are actually already exposed to this information, I am even more interested in your perspective of going through this having had earlier exposure, just because sometimes we may feel like, oh, I already know that already. I don't need to do that. You know, I already know what they're talking about. So talk to us a little bit about that experience. How was the class? How was it working in the team? What your strategy was, because you all did a great presentation. And I can't remember if you placed, but I do remember, I think you both won two of the MVP awards. So, you know, just give us all of the color and the flavor of those whole 5 weeks, and also the benefit of having your coach work with you as well, who's an Ally employee.
Yeah, I think we, you know, it was interesting, I would say, because – you know, Ione was there every week teaching us, and there were a ton of knowledgeable people teaching us different investment principles and strategies. But, you know, the room was very broad in investment knowledge. So for me, you know, I had an internship and was formally licensed as a financial advisor, you know, sitting in those classes, I was still able to learn them. You know, some of my favorite things that I learned were really around the tools, honestly, that the Better Investing Platform has. So I don't have, I'm not a finance major, again, I'm not an accounting major. I had some formal experience with, you know, finance and through this internship, but that was years ago, right? So really being able to pull out the strength of a company. I know in theory how to do it. You know, you look at, you know, you dissect a balance sheet and then you go through the numbers and you see, you know, how much money they're profiting and if the profit margin is going up and et cetera, right? But it's just hard, I think, for me to do those types of things. I don't know if I have that level of patience, you know, and I don't know if, and that's just not my forte, unfortunately. But I think the tools that you taught us about that Better Investing has, where you can really get those numbers and really get that financial analysis without having to actually dig through financial statements, that is really most powerful for me. And that's exactly what I was kind of, one of the things I was looking for. I really did the competition because I wanted to kind of take the next level. And I didn't know what that next level was. Like, you never know what you don't know. But I really do think that that competition and the things that you taught me, especially on over some of the other speakers that we had, really helped me grow as an investor. I think that was a roundabout way to answer the question. I hope I got to it.
No. I mean, you talked about your most favorite part. And so we'll talk even more about, you know, how you dug into the tools. But you answered it spot on. So I'm looking forward to Jacob's answer because, you know, he likes to be live and engaging. So what you got for us, Jacob?
Oh, man. First and foremost, to everyone who just heard Guy's statement, do not believe him. Dude is actually true. He's a prodigy at this, man. He is a prodigy. I'll come in, you know, honestly, just from start to finish, number one, with the team as a whole. I don't know as many individuals that she knows. We actually had an extra team member. Unfortunately, you know, due to personal reasons, she wasn't able to go through with us. But where when that came into play, that was in the middle of the competition, right? And so, but, you know, luckily I had Guy and John Fay, who is our coach at Ally Financial, and they were able to really just truly help and, like, show me all the ropes that I needed to know at that point in time. And I'll shed a bit more light on that. So, yes, it's true. And as I said earlier, I was introduced to the concept and idea of investing when I was really young. When did I actually get into it? It was not at that time, right? Instead, my path, the way I've kind of, you know, just my experience, I more so learned an overall business acumen and business knowledge from that point of view, right? And however, as a guy, it wasn't until really I got more into high school when I actually started picking more up on investing, what it truly is, right? And then even going throughout these years through college, it still had always kind of been something that I was still just picking at just little by little. It wasn't something that I'd gone heavy into. So when I actually entered the competition, to me, you know, I was like, I was still really green by the ears, right? I was just a novice to it. However, by the end of the competition, I was able to learn a lot more, like I said, through my teammate Guy and then through my coach John. And some of the aha moments for me, my program that I'm in within the 5-year MBA program at Hampton University, I was actually very accounting, heavily accounting based. So we focus a lot there. So the strength that I was able to bring to the team, it may not have been exactly understanding everything such as basic terminology or, you know, certain terminologies within investing, but it was actually studying the financials of a company, one, and then just bringing a new perspective to investing, two, right? What does that mean? I mean, it's a simple difference of saying, okay, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, for example, you have like a car, right? I always like to use cars as an analogy, right? Everyone talks about a car. Well, sure, it's great to invest in the car company, but the perspective, you know, that I come to, that I was actually given a while ago, it was, well, Jacob, what makes the car? You got the tires, right? They're not made by the same company. You have the actual windshield wipers, and you have the windows themselves, so the glass and everything. They're not made by the car company itself. They're manufactured in. So kind of looking at it from that perspective, I was really able to add benefit to the team and go in on a deeper level. Really, at one point during our presentation, somebody asked about like a PE ratio. and so I was kind of able to, price earnings ratio, by the way, just explain that and share that. Because that is something we literally hammered in class, I was able to provide knowledge and insight on that, right? And so that's something more or less of what I was able to see in the fact of, okay, even though accounting and, you know, finance, they may be viewed as two different entities, right? Or just two different areas, but they do indeed intersect in many ways than more people think. And what people think. And so from that, that was kind of my aha moment where I said, wow, I'm really not as far behind as I may have thought. And then looking at it, it's still not too late, you know. Yes, I'm only 21, so it's really still not too late, right? But, you know, you still look at it, and when you have your peers or when you have others who are like, yeah, you know, I've been investing since middle school or, you know, just heavy into it, I mean, you can imagine how sometimes you're like, do I really have a chance to really get into it, right? And so overcoming that mindset and overcoming that doubt is really what allowed me to do something even more, which is just simply believe in myself and believe in the ability to grow from there. So that was kind of my experience with it.
Well, you did a phenomenal job, Jacob. And between Jacob and Guy being on every week, camera on, camera ready, asking questions with your homeboy Emmanuel Perez. Y'all were like the three black musketeers, always showing up, showing out. The other people may have come off mute every once in a while, but it was very, very fun and engaging to be able to really connect with some students who also happen to be HBCU students and or graduates to learn about this information, because like you said, Jacob, you know, sometimes, and I just remember something we talked about on Friday, sometimes when you're around more privileged people and they have a head start above you, even if you're only 21, you still feel old and late to the game. And I'm saying it like that because just how you feel right now in comparison to, you know, kids you went to school with who started in middle school, there are right now 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds who feel that same way when they hear about this information now and already say to themselves, oh, I didn't start early enough. Can I even do it right now? Like, we kind of sometimes miss out on, we still have now and we still can do something. And so really my next question for both of you, I have to do my plug before I transition to this next question. In support of the Ally Stock Market Challenge, Ally Stock Market Investing Challenge, Better Investing, Also Investing, and all of the participants with a 3-year plus Better Investing membership. You on mute, Guy. You got to come off mute and do your...
The premium membership too, wasn't it? The plus
Premier. Okay. Top shelf.
Yeah.
Top shelf. Shout out to Guy because, you know, we actually gave a core membership and I was going through the SSG and Guy's like, I'm in my membership. My thing don't look like that. So I had to call Ken. Hey, Ken, we need to upgrade them. And he said, okay, we got it. And we upgraded everybody to a plus membership. And the reason we decided to make this 3-year investment is because we know that you're not going to get it in the summer. You're not going to really get this in just that 5 weeks. You're not even going to get it in a whole year. So we wanted to give you a far enough and a long enough runway where you know you have accessibility to the tools, to the resources, to the people, to the community until you really get on your feet in your career and can really start reinvesting back into yourself and back into those who invested in you. But, yeah, we really wanted for access to not be an issue. And so that's why we decided to invest 3-year membership for all of the participants who signed up because you did have to do something for it. We laid it out, but we can't make you eat. And yeah, I think that probably was like the first one who signed up. But one of the questions, my follow-up question really is, I want to know, what's the one thing that you've done since the end of the program? And then we could talk a little bit more about the Better Investing Resources.
With the platform or just in general?
No, in general. If yours was diving into the resources, that could be one. But I want to hear the one thing you did as a result of the program after the program ended, because a lot of times, you know, you put all this energy and effort and you see people during that 5 weeks, but you don't know what action they took when it all was said and done and they got back to their regular lives.
Yeah, so I think, and this is something else that I missed when we talked about things that were impactful for us during the conversation, right? I am at a point where, I mean, if I were to be working for the entire year, I'm an intern right now, I'm working 3 months, but if I were to be working for the entire year, I'd be making 6 figures, right? So more than enough money to be able to actually make some sizable investments. So, you know, with that privilege really came me researching different things to invest in. And the first thing that I did was I went, well, not the first thing, but one of the things that I was considering was getting a financial advisor from Merrill Lynch, you know, someone that's a professional, you know, who I would pay a commission to, and they would invest my money for me. What Ione taught us in the competition, right, was around really looking at just index funds and kind of invest some of that money yourself and get that bigger return because, one, you're not paying the fees, right? And you know, even if you do pay someone, there's no guarantee that they'll do any better than you will, right? So that's really one of the things that stuck with me, and that's really what I've been looking up lately are different index funds when I do have the time to, you know, just looking up index funds and really seeing you know, really taking this next step seriously. I mean, I knew how much money I'd be making this summer, but I really think the challenge helped me really take, take it more seriously right now than I think I might than I might have been had I had the challenge not happened. I might have pushed it off a little bit more and thought, you know, well, you know, let me finish the summer with things a little less hectic, you know, during the school year, or maybe I might fall back in that trap of trying to time the market, right, instead of time in the market, right, and just a bunch of different things. So, just bought a few stocks, looked at a few index funds, and really trying to think seriously about how I want to invest the money that I'm able to invest in.
Now, have you done an SSG yet? Because I know you brought up Adobe, and we did a SSG on Adobe in class. And I have to check myself because I think I actually ended up submitting that SSG and doing a first cut on it. So, you know, when you log into Better Investing next time, check out first cut and check for Adobe. I think I may have done one. I can't remember. But yeah, have you done an SSG yet?
So let me know, and this is why. So I was talking before we were on air, I was talking about potentially joining a local chapter. I'll be in Baltimore as I move back in person because my first year my dual degree program was online because of COVID, but I'm moving to Baltimore in about a month, right? So I'd love to join a local chapter in the area. And one of the prime reasons is because there are a million tools on the Better Investing website, and you did a great job of showing us, but still going back to getting that repetition, right, and really learning how to use all the tools is really, I think, where I want to be, right? So that is the one thing that's holding me back from doing that. But I think that's also, and that was some of the feedback I left after the competition. The competition was great. I just wish if it was longer, or if there was an opportunity for us to get, you know, resources to actually either how-to videos or whatever the case may be to really go in and really start to dissect, I think, all the tools that you guys have would have been that just next level of like just super helpful, even though it already was amazing and super helpful.
Well, I'm glad you said that on air because that's going to be an easy fix. I'm going to connect you via email to the DC Regional Chapter of Better Investing, Michelle Patterson. We had her on the show about a month or so ago. And there's also the Maryland chapter. So you already live in the DMV area, and then even you're not moving that far away. And a lot of stuff is still virtual. So you can definitely check out, you know, whichever events, activities, workshops you want to. But I do think you hit it right on the head, the community and being plugged into the Better Investing community, especially the local chapter, is really going to help support you in your growth. So congratulations, and I will be sure to send that email. So you're welcome. Jacob, you got some good news for us. I know one piece, but you may have been doing some other things. Let us know what you've done after the program to really implement and apply what you learned during the program.
Yeah, so, well, by the conclusion of the program, I had made up my mind I was going to invest. I didn't know how exactly. I didn't know what platform, but, you know, end up researching and reaching out to individuals just to seek help on that and seek advice and seek counsel in whatever ways they could. And that's what I ended up doing. I ended up investing. You know, you go through the challenge and you get bit with the bug, right? And so that was really the first thing, and that was the foremost thing that was on my mind just to really go ahead and do. And so, but along with that, I will share that I actually ended up looking at a few more, you know, like I said earlier, I was looking at wealth management as a career. I looked at more in depth into that, right? What it actually meant. Like I said, also earlier, my program is heavily based in accounting. So I do have those aspirations, but, you know, I actually kind of did a career shift, if you will, so to speak, right? So those are really the main two focal points for me outside of the fact that I also went and studied even more on my own and just looking at whatever I could. It was no longer a, you know, it was no longer a, okay, if I could do this, it was a, I don't know how, but I'm going to do this, right? And so any pieces of information that I could gather, even if it was something as simple as, you know, going and speaking with someone just within the industry for 15 minutes. I've had that before, right? 15-minute conversation, but here I am asking them as many questions as I can. Like, okay, how can I set myself up like this, right? Even reached back out to Guy a couple of times, right? Just ask him. And then, of course, I reached out to John, our coach. And, you know, even post, I can say to this day, we also stay in touch. And John is still giving us more advice and, like, you know, just definitely gateways to help us progress in that sector of our, you know, personal lives there. And so I would say those would kind of be the three key points that I was actually focusing on. And for me, it's worked out well. I will say, you know, when you first start, even if you are ready, you're still like, oh my gosh, right? I'm not really ready for this, right? But of course you dive in head first, and that's what I end up doing. So actually, I'll share it to this extent. I utilized a portion of course, what I was earning, this more so going to the educational fund, right? But I said, okay, you know what? Let me put it this way. If I can apply to a few more scholarships to make up for this difference, I will do that. And, you know, that's what I'm in line doing right now. And so I took a portion of that, you know, educational factor, and I said educational fund, and I put it towards the stock market, right? And the investing side, just to get me started within that area. Because, well, as we learned, better get started early than never at all, right? And started now than never at all, rather. And so, like I said, you know, had to really think about it a little bit, but didn't really have to put too much thought into it. I knew exactly what I wanted to after.
Now, you left one last thing on the table, and I don't want to steal your thunder. So can you please tell the people what you just recently did, which was a huge accomplishment? It took less time than our phone conversation. Can you tell the people what you did last Friday, please?
Yes. So what Ayani would be referring to, I seriously did. I clicked the mic out. I was like, all right, here we go. It's like $1,000. And, you know, that's a lot for a college student. I'll go ahead and put that out there, right? I clicked that, and I just invested, and it opened my first investment account, actually.
You got to tell the people what you opened up.
Oh, man.
You can't be shy.
I know. Well, I'll be transparent here. This is where, you know, still coming through. I'm still learning the different terminologies and everything. I ended up getting so excited. I invested, and I was like, wait a minute, what was the name of what I invested in? But it was within, nonetheless, it was within the, it slipped in my mind too.
Tell the people the name of the account, because you didn't invest, you didn't put $1,000 in a brokerage account. You put it in a what type of account?
No, it was in, oh man. You're going to have to give me, you're getting me on this.
So Jacob, what was it, guy?
I think you might have to steal his thunder.
I know, I'm going to have to steal it. Save him. Throw him
a
life.
It was the Roth IRA. It was the Roth IRA.
Yeah, Jacob opened up a Roth IRA online, Charles Schwab, no plugs to Charles Schwab, but all the plugs for Jacob for opening up a Roth IRA. And, you know, already in just 2021, he's invested $1,000. And this is his first move. I mean, that is amazing. Super kudos to you, Jacob, because I know, you know, it's hard to pull the trigger. But I really want to congratulate you for not just taking the step, but reaching out to someone to help you take the step, because I think, and we can know a lot of information, we can talk about it, we can listen to it on a regular basis, but until you call the institution, ask the questions, and open the account and do what you need to do to really make it work for you, it's like you don't know anything because you haven't done anything about it. So you get all of the kudos, Jacob, all of the kudos. Now, I'm not going to ask God, does he have a Roth IRA, but I'm going to ask God, do you have one?
Yeah, so my internship that I'm in right now actually gives us, we get 401k matches on some of our paycheck, which is pretty much unheard of for an internship. So I took that and putting it into a Roth IRA account.
Excellent. So, yeah, these two gentlemen, through all of this experience, have already started, you know, participating in that compound interest chart that everybody wants to pull up and everybody wants to refer to and talk about. But the only way you can participate in that is that you have to take your action. So I really want to applaud both you, Guy, and Jacob. You know, for number one, sharing your story with us, and number two, not just talking about it, because that's really why we've invited you to be on the show, to share your story, because it's not the story of the Robin Hood, the overnight, the short and GameStop. It really is a story of investing in your investment education and then doing something about it. So the last question I have for both of you, and I think this is a really good question, because a lot of times when we grow up, we only think of ourselves in terms of careers. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a librarian. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be work, just this work. So my question to you is, with the knowledge you have now, what type of investor do you plan to become and why?
I want to be an investor I want to invest in the type of things that can generate cash flow, I think. I know last time I talk about that, but also I also want to be invested in things that are long-term and growing. I think that's pretty much every investor's dream, right? But I think cash flow and solid investments gives you freedom, I would say, and freedom in that, you know, if you're at a job you hate, you know, you can leave. You know, freedom in that if your boss does something you don't like, or if, you know, you're just ready to try something different, you know, you're not tied down to that paycheck, right? So cash flow for me is one thing that I'm trying to get. I haven't gotten to that level of investment yet. But that is really where I would like to be as an investor.
Well, I'm going to just interject before Jacob. If you stay around Better Investing Members long enough, you'll be with the right crowd who could tell you how to build a nest egg so that you can live off the dividends. So that's definitely comes with the territory.
Oh, man. All right. My answer is slightly different, and it's in this sense. First and foremost, I want to invest in myself. I want to invest in people, and then I want to create generational wealth, right? So invest in the education. I kind of look at it from that perspective. I'm a holistic individual, meaning I look at the whole picture as much as I can. And so with that, you know, the first and foremost, before I can help others, you know, it's not even a sense of, oh, you know, trying to be selfish in their mindset. No, take that out of it. Say, I'm helping others through first understanding what it is, so then later on, I can at least pass it on, right? And so that's the type of investor that I seek to be. I seek to be an investor as I continue to grow individually. I seek to be the investor that gives back, whether it's through the knowledge, through the education there, or even just seriously investing in others. I do plan on being, you know, one of the venture capitalists resources, right? So I, you know, that's the aspiration there. And I think, you know, particularly for individuals who are like myself, and, you know, this is where you come from, you say, I may not have thought I could do this beforehand, right? But just because somebody believed in me or said, hey, I believe in you, right? You're able to take that next step, and that step happens to be the only step you need to take that will just shoot you right over, you know, and keep shooting you above. And so that's the type of investor I seek to be. A little bit different there, but like I said, I like to be a holistic person, so couldn't say it without mentioning that.
Well, I love it, and I think Guy is in support of your answer too. What I love about both of your answers really is that you've recognized very early already that money is a tool. And so what you really shared with us is how you plan to use this tool. You now have the knowledge to grow it and to use it. So I'm really excited in the next 10, 15, 20, 50 years to see, you know, how you leverage it to not only enhance your life and your family's life, but also the larger community. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Ann.
Yes, thank you so very much, Ms. Ione McNeil. And Jacob, I didn't get a chance to speak with you before the program started. Guy and I had some time to chat. And I am so encouraged. And as you can see from the gray that
Not a day over 25. Not a day over 25.
Okay. Yes. Right up, right next to me on this screen, 25. But I want to just remind all of our listeners, because we have a lot of people listening in today, and some of them, Guy and I talked about this before the program started. I said, Guy, listen, there are going to be people here, they're going to only hear your voice, right, Guy? They're not going to hear my voice. They're not going to hear Ione's voice. And Jacob, I can say that to you also tonight. There are people who, they listen to this later on, they're only going to hear your voice. Those of you that may have just joined us, you have been listening to hashtag My Investing Story. And this podcast and program was created to share the story of all types of investors. And I am so encouraged tonight, because I can say this, to hear young Black millennials that are males talking about their investing story and looking forward to, and I did take notes for Jacob, this is my note from what you said, powerful. I'm investing in myself, in people, and generational wealth. And Guy and I had a chance to really talk about the fact that he has a plan. And in the past, he invested in Jordans and clothes and Nikes and all of that. But now he's investing in his mindset, which has helped him to understand the difference. And also, he is learning about the better investing tools and investing in things that will create generational wealth. I'm encouraged. I want to let our listeners know that you have been listening to two rock stars, Gad DeWeaver and Jacob Robinson. And their amazing stories from the millennial millionaires and the experience that they had with some of their coaches, and Ione being one of them, for the Ally Investing competition, if you will, for HBCUs. And so we want to remind all of our listeners that Better Investing, again, was established in 1951 as a not-for-profit organization, and the organization has helped over 5 million people from all walks of life learn how to invest. Equally as important, we want to invite all of you, and especially the two of you, Guy and Jacob, we want to invite you to join us in October, where we will be hosting the Better Investing Beak, if you will, on October the 21st through the 24th. And that's going to be held at the Western Dallas Park Central in Dallas, Texas. In addition to that, on that Saturday, we will be hosting our what we call our Financial Empowerment Seminar. That's going to be held on October 23rd. And we're going to send a special request out to the two of you. We'll talk about this offline. We would love to hear from you by having you join us and let our listeners and our participants hear your voice, because I think that this will give you also an opportunity to get to see and feel in touch with what Ione's been talking about these Better Investing volunteers. It is just amazing when you think about the fact that all of us, including Ione, especially Ione, we do this for free. Let me say this again. We work for you for free. All of our chapter volunteers, we're not selling any products or services. We're not financial planners. We're not financial advisors. We're not stockbrokers. We don't promote any penny stocks or anything like that. All we're asking you to do, and these young men have talked about it today, and Howard Johnson, I have to come to the chat. Howard Johnson said, wow, I wish I had known this at age 22. Work for your money in the first year of your career, year two of your career, until the day you die. Make your money work for you. So we want to thank all of our followers that just keep coming on and supporting this. Laura Scott talked about the Roth IRA. Ann Newman, always here, and she's applauding both of you. Patricia Murray. Of course, Michelle and Marshall, this program would not be able to be on if our volunteers were not helping. And Dean Yeager, thank you so very much. And I have to give Dean a shout-out, because many years ago, Dean Yeager, who's a volunteer with Better Investing, asked Ione and I, excuse me, if we would consider creating something inside of Better Investing to help individuals who are learning, desiring to learn how to invest, but just hadn't gotten to that investing point yet, kind of what we talked about tonight. And really kind of what you were saying, Guy, well, let me check it out. I'm not sure yet. And Jacob talked about, well, I'm going to pull the trigger. Wow. We started with $20, guys, $20. Ione smiled because she was my financial planner at 12 years old. So we'll talk about that on another show. And so from 12 years old to 13, we literally started with $20 in a short-term investing, $20 in a long-term investing, and then $20, yes, in what was called drips and those investment programs that Better Investing offered at the time. And so that's been over 20 years ago. So I just wanted to thank all of our listeners and just remind each of us, please put something in the chat, one action. And we want to do this every week. And this is everybody. If you can just put one thing in the chat that you are willing to do, and Ione mentioned it today when she asked about your action you took, we're going to now ask you to take an action. It doesn't matter if you've been investing for 5 years or 20 or just 5 days. Share with us one thing you're willing to put in the chat that you're going to do. It could be simply to volunteer with Better Investing. It could be simply to do the 90-day free Better Investing membership from the website. But what are you willing to do, just one thing? And with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Ione, if you want to explore around and get any closing comments, we can wrap up. And I want to thank you guys so very much for participating with us tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, again, it was such a pleasure to have both of you the Millennial Millionaires, the team that kind of came together through the Ally Stock Market Investing Challenge. In addition to being great students and engaging participants, it really has been great to start this, having an extended relationship with you all, especially now that you are also Better Investing members. So with that being said, I'll give the two of you the floor if you have any last comments or encouraging words to other other young people, your peers, that are interested in investing but just don't know what you know yet.
I can kick this off with Jacob. I don't have anything planned, but I think the main thing that I want to say is, you know, everyone starts somewhere, and that's with anything. You know, NBA players, you know, pick up basketball for the first time, you know, professional racers, drove a car for the first time, investors, you know, invest their first dollar eventually, right? And no matter if you're 16 or if you're 60, it's never too late to start, because every day that it's invested, it will most likely, not every day, but over time, it'll probably be better than it will in a bank account that is pretty much guaranteed to lose value. Right? So I would recommend invest in something. And the last thing that I want to say is just do your research, use your tools, and try to make calculated risks.
Oh, man. All righty. First and foremost, you know, I think just to really emphasize what Guy just said there, number one, but then also to add, don't be afraid to take the risk. I'm sure Ayani could tell everyone about the story about how I was very hesitant to take the risk on Friday.
I'm going to tell the story of how I was there to support you, because that's all they need to know. But you work through it, and that's the most important part.
Yes, it is. And honestly, that's what I would really share. To anyone out there and anyone listening, keep pushing forward. It's never too late. It's always enough time. One thing that I kind of look at in general, and this is one of the ways that I really view life, you know, opportunities come, but you have to be able to walk to them in order for them to come to you, right? Something within that capacity. And, man, there's so much I want to be able to share right now. I'm an individual who loves to share knowledge, like I said earlier. But nonetheless, keep pushing forward. Always believe in yourself. I cannot stress that enough. Believe in yourself. Even when you doubt yourself, still believe in yourself. That's contradictory, but it'll make sense. Trust. And just keep being yourself. You know, be authentic. You don't have to be everyone else. Just be yourself, be authentic, and without a doubt, end up reaching the goals that you do have.
And one last thing I want to add is just, if you have any questions on, or if you just want to chat about anything, you can go ahead and reach out to me. God Deliver on LinkedIn, Facebook, probably come up on Instagram. Yeah. Type in God Deliver. Me and Jacob have talked. I'm sure he feels the same way. And
yep.
I'm sure a lot of people in the audience and in the chat and on the Zoom room feel the same way as well. But definitely have explicit permission to reach out to me with anything you might need or any advice or anything like that.
Same here. And I'm Jacob Z. Robinson. Yeah, to look that up. There's a lot of Jacob Robinson, so I'm Jacob Z. Robinson.
Okay, if you can put that in the chat, we want to make sure everybody...
We'll add your social stuff to the podcast and come out on Spotify.
Thank you. Thank you, Ayoni, because that's thank you so much. Millennial thinking. All right, Ayoni, any closing comments from you? He says goodbye. Everybody, thank you so very much for joining in. We will look forward to seeing all of you next Wednesday, same time, same place. And please remember, please remember to comment, like, and share the show. All right? Thank you, and see you next week. All right, good night.